And we are live. It is a new Live and Breathe Horse Racing podcast, and this is actually going to be now on Apple iTunes from now on. So hopefully you will subscribe, rate, review when you go over to Apple iTunes. We'll try to have it on the other networks, but for now, it is going to be strictly on Apple iTunes. And today we're going to discuss a couple of topics. The first topic we're going to discuss is we're going to actually go into what condition claimers. And the reason why is because a lot of people will look at the racing form. They will see that the condition claiming races are sitting there and they're written a certain way. And whether or not you understand it or not is why we're going to go through it and figure out what we can do to try to help you guys out as far as getting to winning races and being able to understand how to read that, how much work do you want to put into it. And then the second part of today, we're going to discuss confidence versus no confidence. And the reason why we're going to discuss no confidence versus no confidence is because at some point in time, people continuously don't remember that it might be more important to just forget. And so you go into a race and you might not think that you have the confidence to move on. So we're going to discuss some of the ways you might be able to change it or whether or not something has been done differently. And this will help out as far as where you can get better at as far as this racetrack is concerned. So this racing is concerned. So without further ado, we are going to start with condition claimers. Now, if you have a racing form, if you have an Equibase, if you have BreezeNet, if you have any sort of racing form or past performance sheets, pull them out. Look for anything with the letter B next to it. That is the main condition claimer events that you will see at most racetracks. And peruse it over. Normally what the condition claimers are is something such as the following. The most common are horses that have not won two races in a lifetime or are three-year-olds or horses that have won three races at a mile or non-winners of four lifetime. These are certain condition claimers, but we're going to discuss the latter one that we just were talking about, and that was the condition claimer one. And the condition claimer one that I wanted to discuss is everything about how to read it. So most people, when they don't win races that are condition claimers, they just fail to read the condition. And they don't know whether or not, they don't look at all the horses. They don't look to see whether or not how they fit into this race. And a lot of times what happens is that you'll get a condition claimer and you treat it like an open claimer where you have a 10-horse field or a 7-horse field. And you basically look at it and you go, okay, I can just go based on this horse is dropping in class, this one is going up in class, this one is, you know, just won, so he's got to be in good form. But it, quite honestly, you need to dive deeper into the condition because without that, you are going to find yourself on the losing end a lot of times. But what you will find out, if you do dive into these races, you will find a lot of money is being left by a lot of people. So what we're going to do is we're going to break this down. We're going to break it down into the simplest of terms. And the way that is going to work is as follows. Number one, read the condition. The condition reads, horses that have not won three races lifetime or three-year-olds. So the first thing you're going to do without anything is you're going to look to see what horses are three-year-olds because this is a three and up race, obviously, because they can be three-year-olds, they could be non-winners of three lifetime. And this is for $30,000 claimers. So, you know, all the horses are going to fit in the $30,000, but how do they fit? You go down the list. There's eight horses. All the horses are, let's say, four and up. If they're all four and up, which condition do they meet? They meet the non-winners of three lifetime. Now, throw away that part and go back. Half of the horses are winners at are have won four races. The other ones have won 10, or the other ones have not won it. They're 3-year-olds. And so now you have, or you have 3-year-olds that are multiple winners, and then you have older that are not multiple winners at three races. They're still looking for their third race. While you have a 3-year-old that may have won 5 races out of 8 or 5 races out of 10, and you know their connections are moving them up gradually, or he may have a problem. So when you look at this, obviously the horse that wins the most is the one that you want to put your money on. He's going to be the favorite for the most part. But now you have to look, how did that horse win his condition? How did that horse that won 5 races win his races? How many are won at lower classes? How many were won going the certain distance? These are all certain things that you have to look at. Now, if the horse won every single race at Gulfstream Park, and this race is at Gulfstream Park, and the highest level he's won at is 30,000, then he's probably going to be 1-5, and it's probably not going to be something you want to look at. What you want to look at here is for horses such as the ones that are 3-year-olds, that are 3 years old, are still non-winners of 2 lifetimes, or non-winners of 3 lifetimes, so they fit the condition twice, or you want a 4-year-old. But that's not why you are a horse that's older. What you also want to do now is you want to look at the PPs, or the past performances. Now, when you look at the past performances, a lot of things are going to jump out at you. Number one, where did he run at? How far did he go? Is this going to be further? Is it the same distance? Is he basically coming down in class, even though looks like he's adding extra money to himself? How do we do this? Basic gist of it is this. Condition claimers take a little bit more time than normal races. What you want to do is you want to look at that race chart. You want to go back and you want to look at those horses that he ran against. How many of those horses fit non-winners of 3 lifetime? How many of those horses were multiple winners? How many of those horses won and just moved up and ran for the first time in that condition? How many horses were coming off layoffs? These are all things you need to find out. If all the horses in that last race were non-winners of 3 lifetime, and all of a sudden this horse is moving into this condition again, and there's 4 horses that have won 3 or more races, and there's half the field that hasn't won 3 or more races, this is a jumping class because they are facing tougher horses. And it's something that people don't remember or don't bother to understand or are too afraid to pull the trigger and say, you know what, this horse is actually jumping in class. And I know he's won 2 straight races, but you know what, this is a little tougher. He just faced easier company. I'm just going to take a pen and maybe just make a note that he may not be fitting in the spot for this time. And you're going to look for a horse that maybe has already faced this type of company that's in this race today. And I understand that it's a lot of convolution going on, and I don't even know if that's a word, but I'm going to use it today, that this way of looking at condition claimers can be confusing. And if you're confused, please let me know, drop me a line, shoot me an email, tell me you're completely nuts and I can't figure you out, and I will be more than happy to try to figure it out for you or try to explain it. But the condition claiming game is probably the most lucrative. You make a lot more money when you have horses that don't fit the situation or don't fit the race. And with that, when you have that, it's really, really important and impressive when that happens, because you can go out, you can win your races and make some money when you need to. And it's something that's really important. And one thing that you may want to look at a little later on, as far as the races are concerned, If you're new, you just want to stick with the stuff that's a little easier. Open claimers, non-winners of 2 lifetime. Those are the type of races you want to stick to. Stakes races. Those are the things that are more important for a lot of people. And with that said, we'll be right back, and we're going to discuss the confidence versus no confidence when we return. And we're back. It is the Live and Breathe Horse Racing podcast, and gave you guys a little break there after sounding off for about 10 minutes. And we're going to discuss the psyche of a gambler. It's quite simple. Are you confident? Are you not confident? My aunt used to tell me all the time, and she still says it to this day, that she thinks that I'm one of the most arrogant human beings in the world. And I always tell her, no, I'm not arrogant. I'm confident. And there's a big difference between being arrogant and there's a big difference between being confident. There's a big difference between feeling like you're not doing the job right and feeling like you have absolutely no confidence. And in this game, confidence is the biggest thing you can have. Forget about winning or losing. Forget about whether or not you have like this magic elixir that makes you win all the time, because in this game, you're not going to win all the time, because this game isn't about picking winners. It's picking value and finding value, regardless of what you're doing. And with that said, how confident are you to be able to sit here and say, I'm going to make a bet and I'm going to single, or I'm going to hammer, or I'm going to play this and not have a problem? Even if you've missed 7 or 8 races in the row, you're confident enough that this is going to be it. Now, there's a big difference between confident as in, you know what, today's going to be the day. I feel really, really good. Perfect example was Saturday. Saturday, there was a horse running at New York at Belmont Park in the Pennine Ridge, Demar Chalier. I absolutely loved his works. And I basically was, this horse can't lose. This horse is going to win. I'm going to hammer him. I don't care what his odds are, unless they're like 2-1. And that'll give me some seed money to play later on in the day when Unbridled Forever's half brother comes into play. And of course, that one went sideways real quick. So these are things that you need to look at and say, okay, I feel confident like this. And I don't like being preachy, so I'm not going to be preachy. Here's what I'm going to do. We're going to go confidence versus no confidence. You're going to sit and you're going to say, yeah, I do that, or no, I don't do that. So the question is, how many tracks do you play? How many times do you win at those tracks? Do you keep records of it? Do you know which tracks you're good at and which aren't? Do you know how the track is playing every single day? Do you know the horses to where you can look at basically the entries and go, well, you know what, that horse is going to come down in class? Or are you not somebody that plays every single day, or isn't somebody that that just does this on the weekends because you like to have fun with your friends? I personally like to have fun with my friends at the racetrack, but if I go to the racetrack, I'm there for one reason and one reason only. I'm there to win money. So yeah, it's great and fun, but I guarantee you my friends will never ever know whether or not I win a race or not. I mean, my wife rarely knows whether or not I win a race or not. It's just something that I've learned to kind of hide inside or kind of not worry about, because it's horse racing. 1 minute you're up, 1 minute you're down. And if you are, you know, someone who's open to having a Twitter account and tweeting out all the time and making comments, and people know you by your face when you go to the racetrack and they're asking you, who do you like and why do you like them? And then the horse doesn't come in. I don't tell anybody who I like 99% of the time. I may have a suggestion on who I like, but I'm never going to tell you whether or not I really, really love a horse. Once in a while, I will. Thundersnow comes to mind. By the way, I do not like Thundersnow this week. I hate Thundersnow this week. But these are things that you have to understand. How many tracks do you play? Me personally, I play 2 racetracks, maybe 3. I play whatever racetrack is open in Kentucky, regardless if it's Keeneland, Churchill Downs, Turfway Park, or Ellis Park. I will play Saratoga because I know how Saratoga plays. I will play Oaklawn because I know how Oaklawn plays. I will play Gulfstream during the winter meet because I know how the winter meet plays there at Oaklawn. I will play Sam Houston because it's my home track and I know how that track plays. The other racetracks. Oh, and I will play Remington Park because Remington Park, believe it or not, you can make a ton of money there because there's a lot of dead money there. How many places do you play per day, per week, per month? Next question. How many races do you bet? I can guarantee you right now, 99%, 99 to 100% of the people bet at least one race when they go to the racetrack. How many have sat through a whole card and said, you know what, I hate that card. I hated yesterday's cards at Churchill Downs and Belmont. I had no feel for those cards. I sat home. But if I have a feel, am I spot playing? If you have a feel, are you betting every day? Are you betting every race? Why are you betting every race? What type of bet are you betting every race? Are you chasing because you're betting every race? Because these are questions that you have to ask yourself. And these are questions that you have to ask yourself because do you have confidence or do you not have confidence? If you have confidence, you're not going to worry about betting one race for one day and then saying, okay, I'm done, compared to somebody who doesn't have any confidence and is afraid or scared and basically will go, you know what, I really don't like playing this race. I'm only going to bet $2 to win on it. And then turn around and the horse you liked was 10 to 1 on the board because people didn't see what you saw and you made $18 on it compared to somebody who has confidence and is making $20 bet, a $25 bet. Now, I'm not saying to go out when you have confidence to go out and make bets that you normally wouldn't bet, and that's another thing. Bet where you feel comfortable because it's important to do that. I've tried to teach so many people to bet a certain way, and I've come to the conclusion that you have to bet what you're comfortable with. If you're only comfortable betting $20 on a race, then bet $20. But don't share it with everybody that you're only betting $20. Or don't share it if you hit. The other thing, if you're confident, you're confident. Nobody needs to know how confident you are. I know it's strange, but it's true. Nobody needs to know whether or not I'm hitting races or not. Nobody needs to know whether or not I'm playing the dogs on a Monday and I'm betting, you know, 20 races out of 33 out of the two dog tracks that I know I can win at and have value for me. So nobody knows whether or not I'm at a plus or a minus for the week. Am I a plus or a minus at Kentucky? I can tell you this: on Friday, it ate me up and spit me out, and then I started chasing. I played Arlington because there were no races. The horse I absolutely loved at Belmont scratched. So I was like, well, I got money. I handicapped the card at other tracks. I'm going to play other tracks. No, you don't do that. Bad, 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 bad. Play the tracks that you want to do. Play the bets that you want to do. Change it up. If you've had 22 straight losing days because you have not hit a racetrack or have not hit a race, it's time to change it up. You're doing something wrong. Maybe bet to show. Maybe bet to place. Maybe bet to win. Maybe bet across the board. Maybe bet an exacta. Now, always look for value in exactas and trifectas and superfectas because, you know, you're going to lose more than you're going to win. And always remember, what percentage are you winning at those tracks? And by winning, I mean value wins. For me, I don't mind playing a horse that's 10 to 1 because if it doesn't hit, that's fine. Somewhere down the line, I'm going to hit a 10 to 1 shot. Somewhere down the line, I'm going to put together a run where I have four or five horses hit at 4 to 1 or 5 to 1. And all of a sudden, I'm back into the positive as far as it's concerned at that racetrack or not. You have to know the track conditions. You have to know how you want to bet. And I know some people go, oh, well, I'm just going to bet the day of. I'm just going to look at the form the day of. Don't do that. That's going to get you into chasing money. I recommend doing it a day or two beforehand. Some people say do it the night before. Me personally, I like being about 2 days ahead on the forms. because it gives me a chance to, number one, go through it and look at the races. Number two, it gives me a chance to look at the forms and go, okay, I need to look at this race. I need to look at this race. I need to look at this work for this maiden race here. If I can find it. If I can't find it, I got to see what the notes are in our database to see what it is. These are all things. But when you're confident, makes it a lot easier. When you're not confident, takes forever because you're second-guessing yourself. With that aspect, I'm just going to leave you with this bit of advice. If you miss a race, you miss a race. It's no big deal. It's not an air ball, as some people put it. It's not a chonk or whatever you call it, Corey. I love you, man, but it drives me nuts. You just missed. It happens. It happens to everybody. The deal is that don't you bringing it up is going to be sitting there for you because you have to see it on your timeline and you have to see it on the group timelines or you have to see it on your Twitter timeline every single time. And all of a sudden it messes with your confidence and you start questioning it. Take 5 minutes, be upset, move on. It's an air ball. Big deal. I had air balls in basketball. I've had air balls at the racetrack. But you know what? In the long run, you're going to make money. If you just stay confident and just play the races you can play, the racetracks you can play. And you know what? If your racetracks don't run on a Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, don't play them. Don't play other tracks. It's just you losing money. Play the tracks that you want to play that you know you can make money at and stick to them. And you're going to see that all of a sudden your positive return of investment is going to be a lot bigger than the negative. And with that said, I'm going to sign off. I think I've jabbered on for longer than I wanted to today, but I thought it was important. I might be back from, get this, Los Angeles this week. I'm going to the sale on Wednesday, but I may end up having something for Belmont. I know a lot of people like Tacitus. I'm sorry, I don't. But I'll explain why later, and have a wonderful day.